You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. With you on a Thursday. Breaking news, if you haven't heard. The Supreme Court has blocked the Trump administration from adding its census question, or its citizenship question, to the census. Good thing that that court's conservative, right? God only knows what we'd get if it wasn't. And the Chief Justice sided with the minority. The liberal minority on the court, and said that he said that the reason didn't make sense. I thought the court decided issues of law whether you had the ability to, and your reason was your reason. So is it the federal government's, is it within the law for the federal government to ask that question? I thought that was a question, not why they wanted to ask it. They do so for, let me think. Why would you drop the question? Let me think about that. You would do that for? Oh, for a political reason, because it all comes back to truth, justice, and the American way, right? Wrong. It all comes back to politics and money and power. So I guess I'm a little... color me a little confused this morning. Second decision about redistricting, they said, yeah, redistricting and gerrymandering is your constitutional right. And they said, the Supreme Court said that the court has no role in that. So, anyhow, good morning on a Thursday. Hope your day's going so far, going well so far. Mine's going all right. Yeah. Yeah, I had a good day yesterday. And today, hopefully, it'll be better. My godson's getting married over the weekend, so headed up to Lake Tahoe tomorrow at some point. And then spend a couple days in Tahoe with friends, and then back here for the 4th of July week. So, yeah. A very early happy 4th of July to everybody. I did not watch the Democratic debates last night. I was making dinner and I was recording the Kenny Lynch event, so I have no expertise to offer in that area. So I hope everybody did well in that. 20 candidates, man, that's a lot. That's a lot. Right. I mean, to me, you have to pull some kind of stunt. Because what the trick is to stand out in some way, shape, or form. Because the reason I have to stand out is I got to raise money. If I don't stand out, I can't raise money. I can't play. So that's the game at this point. And 20 of them. It goes on again tonight. So anyway, if you watched it, let me know what you thought. Who did you think was the best candidate for the Democrats? If you watched it, so. Two things in my head this morning as the show opens. One is, one of the things that would happen to you while you were in Iraq or Afghanistan is you would see the people that controlled the event get up on TV and act in a sanctimonious or emotional manner, and you know, based on something that had happened, and you'd see this, in my opinion, this bullshit political theater. And you were there, and so you knew the truth, and you knew they knew better, you knew they knew what was going on, and you knew they didn't do anything, and they had the power to intervene, and then they're going to stand up in front of the public and get emotional and all that bullshit. And I had the same feeling yesterday as this photo of an adult male drowned with his daughter on his back down on the Mexican border, the U.S.-Mexican border. And the photo's gone viral. And yesterday you had reaction from the nation's capital. And, I mean, I watched it, and my instinct was to laugh. Don't you understand? It's you guys that are the problem. You guys won't deal with this. Specifically, the Democratic Party, it doesn't do immigration. It just ignores the issue. So for them to stand up and get emotional, to me, is like, it's laughable stupid. It's like, what, are we all stupid? You know, what happened? And so, I mean, I saw a series of people get up and talk yesterday, and it was no bueno, man. It was not good. And so I found it disgusting, to be quite honest with you. You know, that building that doesn't address the issues that involve the American people, that can't compromise, that plays this political game of chicken over money, blah, 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 right? All of a sudden, bad photo goes up. There's a kid in it. Oh, shit. Just so everybody knows, you can find that picture on our border every day, okay? A version of that picture happens on the border multiple times on most days. The people that are working on the border, right? And I, by chance, having to talk to somebody I know that works down on the border. And what we were talking about is, you cannot believe, you know, what goes on down there. And he said, you know, you have Border Patrol guys. You have customs people that are using their own money to buy formula and diapers because there isn't enough. You have Border Patrol agents that are changing diapers and feeding babies all day because the crisis down there is crazy. And it is cartels involved in human smuggling. And they tell people things, and people respond to it, and they get their money. Make no mistake about that. The people involved in the cartels and the smuggling, right? They get their money, and they don't get it up front either. You got to pay on a monthly basis. If you don't have the money, they'll still take you, right? And the way they take you is like, who are you? Mo McNamara? Oh, you're from Sacramento, right? Yeah. Or you're trying to get into Nevada. We'll get you into Nevada. But you know you got to pay us, right? Well, yeah, but I don't have all the money. That's okay. You know that we know everybody in your family, right? That I have friends in Sacramento. I just called them. They looked it up. You live at 40 Tristan Circle, right? Your mom is Kathleen. Right, that's your family, right? Okay, so you know, we'll kill everybody in your family if you don't pay us. So, you know, that's what goes on our border every day. And so, you know, that picture goes viral. And then you see the emotional, gut-wrenching, you know, wailing that comes out of the nation's, you know, out of Congress. You know, just shut up already. Nobody wants to hear that from you people. I restrained myself right there. I hope everybody respects that. And so, that was on display for us all yesterday. And I thought, you know what? Do they have no shame? Do they have absolutely no shame? And the answer to that is they don't have any shame. They don't have any shame. Like, this is the right thing for me to stand up here and what, like, lecture your colleagues? You know it's not going to change anything. Where was the Speaker of the House? Where was Senator Schumer? Do you mean to tell me there's no compromise that can be found in immigration that can stop what's going on down there? And the person I was talking to about the border told me that, you know, if there was cameras down here all the time, holy shit, they would see some shit, because there's some serious shit that goes on down here. And then he told me, he said, you cannot believe the number of times that we have either the Border Patrol or Customs or, you know, different people, to include American military units that go into those rivers to save people, that risk their own lives to save people. Yeah, I mean, every day. And it's not like the leaders of our Congress don't know this. They get briefed on a regular basis about this shit. And so to watch the grief and the angst come out and the emotion because of a picture is so bullshit. It's theater for the masses. It's opium for the masses, as Stalin said, right? Religion, opium for the masses. And so that's what we saw on TV yesterday. That great anxiety and wailing, you know, and yet crickets, cricket, cricket, cricket. Nothing happens. Nothing happens. So pretty pathetic email, the truth. And every one of the Dems that is screaming lies about what's going on needs to be slapped in their bitch mouth. Congress of both parties created the mess, and a large segment of them would rather have this as an election issue than do anything about it, than do anything to fix it. That's the shameful truth. There's no fix in that. There's no way that the U.S. Congress can shore that up. And specifically, right, what we see now and the victimization of children is because of the loophole that smugglers are driving people through, and it is right? Family units that come to the country. And so that's what we look at. So the spike is get to the United States now before they close that loophole. And it's just disgusting, right? And again, I don't know that the nation can have a lower opinion, you know, of its Congress than it does now. But this game that Nancy Pelosi plays, you know, they sit in conference, and this is their deliberate strategy, right? So you would think, okay, our deliberate strategy is we have to drag the investigation of the president out. Okay, so Nadler, he's going to do that. And then immigration will simply be silent on, right? Because we cannot give the president anything on the border because he will crow that he's been victorious down there, and we cannot have that. And so McNamara is sitting in the back, much like McNamara would have been sitting in the back of the OPT about either expanding the ground war in Afghanistan and saying, are we prepared to be here for like 300 years if we do that? Or the intelligence shit for the run-up to the Iraq war. Hey, look, we've contained the Soviet Union for 50 years. We can't contain this idiot. And, like, I love the idea that we're going to refashion an Islamic nation, but are we sure we can do this? Because, you know, there's the war plan, which I've looked at, says that you'll have a civil war in your hands if you don't go in there with approximately 300,000 people. Now, I know nobody else believes that in this room, but so is there any Democrats that stick their hand up in the back and say, hey, there's a lot of people that are dying on our border, though. So we're content to make this a political issue and have what's going on down there? And look, the public really doesn't know, but we do because we sit in the classified briefs relative to what's going on down on the border. And we're all okay with that. Yes, we are. All right, this is just a coin in the game of the White House and power, political power in the country. Is that the group response? Yep, pretty much. Next issue? You know? So, it's crazy. It's disgusting. It's not crazy. Crazy. If it was just crazy, I would say, yeah, that's crazy. What I would say is, it's absolutely disgusting that the United States of America can't secure its southern border, provide for orderly immigration, deal with families in the appropriate way, blah, 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 and all of that takes congressional action, which is not forthcoming. And so, again, that picture that was floating around, make no mistake about it. You find that picture multiple times a day down on the border. It just doesn't go viral, right? It doesn't leave the camera of the American or Mexican official that stumbles upon the body and has to deal with it. You know? It doesn't leave there. The majority of times. This one did. So, anyway. So we had the privilege of watching that. The other thing that is in the news that I hope is true, and I hope happens. And it was a story that I saw online today that the Navy sent a letter to the lawyer for the petty officer, corpsman type, that said he could be prosecuted for perjury. I hope that happened. I just saw another headline that I have to share with you that is unbelievable. But I hope that happens, because this game of I get granted immunity, then I change my story to help somebody, that has to end. So I make statements, I'm interviewed, my story's consistent, I get immunity, I change my story to help my friend. Yeah. So immunity with a caveat, right? We will immunize you, right, to give this testimony. So nothing else can happen to you. Okay. But should you change your story, should you perjure yourself, you will be charged. Do you understand? Okay. Listen to this story. I just saw this headline. Navy's newest littoral combat ship strikes a vessel. I'm not making it up. The Navy's newest littoral combat ship, the USS Billings, sustained minor damage on Friday afternoon when it struck a moored commercial vessel. Now, moored means it's sitting at anchor while getting underway in Montreal. No one was injured, and the damage to the pre-commissioned vessel occurred above the waterline, according to the command spokesman, Lieutenant Commander Courtney Hilson. The Billings was in Canada as part of a routine transit ahead of its August commissioning in Key West, Florida. It struck the larger Canada-flagged bulk cargo vessel, Rosaire A. Desgagne, something like that, which remains moored in Montreal. Now, I'm going to click on this, and how big do you think that ship is? Do you think it's big? Do you think it's little? Okay. The overall length of the ship is 138 meters. Okay. So 138 meters is roughly, it'll be, what, 150 yards long? Okay, so let me, meters to feet or yards, what do you want? How about yards, because that'll equate to a football field, which is a good visual, right? Meters to yards. Okay, copy, paste, enter. 138 meters equals 151 yards. So approximately a ship the length of 1.5 football fields is sitting there, and we run into it. Okay, the fact that we would run near it would be disturbing. The fact that somehow or other that ship would touch my ship, I mean, good God. Make it stop. Somebody make it stop. While the LCS Billings, not commissioned yet, so not yet the USS Billings, remains able to proceed to its future home port at Naval Station Mayport, Florida, Lieutenant Commander Hilson indicated it will remain in Montreal to undergo a full damage assessment. The Navy took possession of the Freedom Class variant, whatever the hell that is, in February. Hilson said Friday's incident remains under investigation and will not affect the commissioning schedule. You can't make it up, all right? The Navy. Holy shit. All right, so with those things vented out of my spleen, and trust me, not very far out, we begin the program. The United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Good morning to you. We'll be right back. And this is dedicated to everybody who works down on the border. Nobody really tells their story very well. You know, people make cameo appearances down at border stations, but nobody really tells their story. And so for all the people down there that work, that do the things that none of us ever hear about, right? This is dedicated to you because you are doing work that nobody knows about. A lot of politicians don't really care about, and you know that because they won't fund what you're doing. So God bless you. Keep doing what you're doing. And, you know, there's a song just popped into my head that we used to sing when I was a kid at church. And there was a phrase in the song called, "They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love," right? And the people that come to our border know that we have a great country by the way people treat them. And 99% of the people down there do nothing but help and try to do good things. And so this is dedicated to those people. God bless you.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, you know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain. It's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time to check the weather. Sunny in 87 in Quantico. Mostly sunny in 89 at Camp Lejeune. Cooled off at 29 Palms. Mostly sunny 79 at 29 Palms. Camp Pendleton. Clouds in 64. Camp Smith in Hawaii. Dark cloudy in 78. Okinawa warmed up. Dark cloudy in 80. In Ramadi, it is sunny and 113. In Marja, Afghanistan, Helmand type, clear, dark, and 93. In the Costa Mesa, Newport Beach area, Southern California, it is cloudy and 66. When the sun comes up, the temperature is going to increase by 7 degrees. What the hell? We barely hit 70. It's almost July 1st. Global warming. There you go. That's right. El Nino. La Nina. Some concoction of that. Anyway, we'll take a break. We'll check news headlines when we come back. Don't touch your radio dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. Right here on your home for it. The All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you. And we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and so be made. Of this heartbreak.
8:39 on the west coast of America. We'll turn our attention to the news. And United States, the DOD, identified two soldiers that were killed in Afghanistan. Master Sergeant Michael Riley and Sergeant James Johnston, the Pentagon said today. Both died on Tuesday as a result of small arms fire in Uruzgan province in Afghanistan. I'm probably mispronouncing that, but anyway. So, Uruzgan province is due north of Kandahar. I can see that on my map. Mountainous region, right? Kandahar sits kind of at the bottom of the mountains that come out of north and northeastern Afghanistan and then feed into kind of a desert plain where Helmand province is, where, right, that was irrigated by USAID and is now one of the great poppy producing locations in the world. So Kandahar kind of in the center of the country in the south central part of Afghanistan, and these soldiers, both EOD types, were killed. And again, if they were killed by small arms fire, my own instinct is somehow or other they were ambushed, right? It was an IED covered or could be covered with small arms fire if somebody hit it, and they responded, and they were killed. So keep their families in your prayers. The incident is under investigation, right? Master Sergeant Michael B. Riley and Sergeant James G. Johnston both died of small arms fire. Johnston, 24, of Trumansburg, New York, was assigned to the 79th Ordnance Battalion, EOD, 71st Ordnance Group from Fort Hood, Texas. Riley, 32 years of age, of Hellebron, Germany, was assigned to the 2nd Battalion, 10th Special Forces Group, Airborne, out of Fort Carson, Colorado. The incident is under investigation. Riley was on a 6th deployment in Afghanistan, was a seasoned and experienced soldier, according to the 10th Special Forces Group Commander, Colonel Lawrence G. Ferguson, in a statement from U.S. Army Special Operations Command. It is with a heavy heart that we learn of the passing of Master Sergeant Michael Riley in Afghanistan. Mike was an experienced Special Forces non-commissioned officer and the veteran of five previous deployments to Afghanistan. We will honor his service and sacrifice as we remain steadfast in our commitment to our mission. So as I said, keep their families in your thoughts and prayers. I want to kind of cut to General Jack Keane, somebody who we enjoy listening to, because he speaks the truth. He's getting ready to speak on Fox News. So the subject is Iran. So here is General Jack Keane.
War with Iran is an illusion, and whoever begins the war will not be ending one. So, a war of words, perhaps, at the moment, when does that change?
Yeah, it's pretty outrageous that the Iranians can suggest that the United States is provoking this when we now have clear evidence that they sabotaged six tankers. The IRGC Navy did it. The evidence is indisputable. And they also made an attack on a Saudi pipeline. So they are the provocateurs here. And as opposed to going back to the international community and saying, look, the sanctions are unfair. Let's see if we can negotiate. Go to the UN if they wanted to do that. But no, what are they doing? They're pulling a trigger. So they're the provocateurs here, not the United States.
Now, yesterday at the Democratic debates, we heard from all the candidates about what they saw was the primary geopolitical threat to the U.S. We had a variety of answers. We've got a montage of that here. Take a look.
Well, the biggest geopolitical challenge is China.
The biggest threat to the security of the United States is Donald Trump.
You're at a greater risk of nuclear war today than ever before in history. Our major threat right now is what's going on in the Mideast with Iran.
Our existential threat is climate change.
Climate change.
Yeah, Senator Booker.
Nuclear proliferation and climate change.
Secretary Castro.
Say, China and climate change.
Congressman Ryan.
China without a question.
Russia, because they're trying to undermine our democracy.
So a wide range of issues there as the biggest threat. This at the time when President Trump is in Japan at the G20, and suddenly a lot of those issues will be very high up on his agenda. Do you agree with any of those Democratic candidates? What do you think is the principal threat?
Well, most foreign policy and national security experts believe the return of big power competition with Russia and China are really the major threats that we're facing, and particularly China. Obviously, we're in an economic war with them of sorts in terms of trade imbalance and theft of intellectual property.
What about
their influence operations and really their rapid military buildup to dominate the Indo-Pacific and eventually the world is really the number one long-term strategic threat to the United States.
Perhaps not just the South China Sea. We see them expanding into Africa, drone bases. They're building their own aircraft carriers, warplanes. At the moment, as you say, it's economic. But when does that perhaps become a risk of becoming military?
It already is military. They've militarized the South China Sea. They're opening bases in Pakistan and Djibouti. They want to have influence over the Middle East. 80% of their oil comes through the Middle East. And China's influence operations, operating below the level of conflict, have intimidated and coerced all of our allies in the Indo-Pacific. They have more influence in the Indo-Pacific than they've ever had. Their navy is larger than ours today, and the rest of their military is rapidly expanding.
So a lot for President Trump to try and get through over the next few days in Japan. General, thank you very much.
Jack Keane. Iran. Yeah. But, you know, it's interesting, before we proceed on with the news, I thought it was pretty interesting. Some of the stuff I've listened to says Iran is looking to create, play brinksmanship into a crisis. Right, and then have in whatever settlement comes, whatever group gets together, and it will normally be brokered by the Europeans, economic relief will be part of that. So, as General Keane said, rather than go any other route, they begin a shooting event. Now, it's been quiet for the last week, yes? Interesting. So what's the next move on the part of the Iranians? Where do they go from here? Right? The sanctions remain in place. Do they shoot something else down? Do they heighten the tension? So I guess we'll see. But clearly the sanctions are hurting them. And I think at the end of the day, regardless of how many minutes before the strikes did he call them off, or if they even got that far, the United States ultimately did the right thing in restraining itself and allow that which is most lethal to do what it does. And that is destabilize the entire regime, because evidently there are things percolating out of Iran that said, you know, people are tired of this. People are tired of this. All right. Next story, look at Stars and Stripes first. We already talked about the two soldiers that have been identified by the Pentagon. Next headline, new acting defense chief Esper wants allies to play a bigger role in countering Iran. Now, I told you, all of our restraint and Iran's provocations, all of that is aimed, the audience for that is European allies. And what they desire is, we want relief from these sanctions, and we want you, as the signatories of the JPOA, right? We want you to give us that relief. So anyway, so Esper today in Europe, talking to our NATO allies at a conference there. All right. Interesting little story here. Trump orders new policy for service academy graduates pursuing professional sports. So he wants to make the service academies more competitive and athletically, and raise their level of visibility. And in order to do that, you could go ahead and pursue a career in professional athletics and serve in the reserve. So, not that important of an issue, but interesting. And here's a story I mentioned earlier. Witness could face a perjury charge in a Navy SEAL court-martial. Officials are considering charging Special Operator First Class Corey Scott with lying under oath during Chief Petty Officer Edward Gallagher's court-martial, said an email sent on Tuesday by Navy Captain Donald King, a lawyer for the senior commander who convened the war crimes proceeding. So, you know, again, I think that needs to happen, because this is something you see on a relatively regular basis when somebody's granted immunity in high visibility cases. So, I hope they do charge whoever that guy is, because, you know, you're granted immunity to tell the truth. And when you begin to play stupid games, then stupid things just happen to you. And that's what you asked for. Headlines, Marine Corps headlines. Stand by. There is nothing, slow news day, right? Slow news day in Marineland, which I think the Commandant would say would be no problem to him. The at top of the hour, Lynch and Kenny are going to join me, and we're going to talk about, get their thoughts on Iran. After a week, they issued their counsel last week, so we'll get their thoughts on what they think. How they think the president did, you know, and their thoughts on the future. The thing we'll talk about is in talking to Chris Woodbridge yesterday, it was interesting that this whole discussion about discipline has reinvigorated some intellectual things in the Marine Corps, and so we'll talk about that too, because we, the three of us, Tim Lynch and Jeff Kenny, I mean, we met during a period where we were a part of that. This maneuver warfare thing, this professional reading thing, and we were hugely, all of us, caught up in it, and it certainly affected our lives and our careers. So we'll talk about that too. Top five stories in early bird today. Number one, Trump says no large troop movements, but any fight with Iran wouldn't last very long. So this is in Military Times. President Donald Trump said a conflict with Iran wouldn't last very long because of American military might, but also ruled out sending in large numbers of ground troops into the region. Yeah, to me, come on, send some. Get the Iranian guards out in the open and smoke them. I'm not talking boots on the ground. I'm not talking we're going to send 1 million soldiers, he said in an interview with Fox Business News on Wednesday morning. I'm just saying if something were to happen, it would not last very long. Additionally, Trump took aim at Japan and complained that the U.S. was responsible for protecting the island but getting nothing in return. You know what? You know, people get all aghast, right, when he says those things that are just as plain as day true. Right, and again, the whole thing with Iran. Most of the oil coming out of Iran is headed to Asia. You know, a chunk of it to Japan. Where are the Japanese frigates in the region? They're nowhere. The United States will guarantee that too. So anyway. He also insulted Iranian President Hassan Rouhani. President Trump said, "I don't think the Iranians have smart leadership at all. The country is going down the tubes." So the president, the shit talker in chief, right? Number two, deal to move defense bill lets 2020 candidates vote on Iran. The Senate reached a bipartisan compromise Wednesday to let Democrats participating in the party's first presidential primary debate in Miami this week vote on Iran, a Republican concession to clear the way for the massive 2020 National Defense Authorization Act. So, yeah. Geez, what an amazing act. We weren't going to play reindeer games because people were at a different function. Number three, North Korea urges South Korea to stop mediating between the United States and North Korea. Go figure. A North Korean statement was an apparent continuation of its displeasure with Seoul and Washington over stalled diplomacy. Yeah. Now remember, the totalitarian way of dealing with a democracy as the democracy entertains an election is to what? Go sideways, dangle things out, and that's what President Xi will do with President Trump, right? The dude in North Korea is doing the same thing. Hey, do you want to get reelected? Here's a carrot for you. Just agree to what I want. And that's what, in my opinion, that's what the Chinese will do. Why would the Chinese capitulate? You might have an administration in office in 2 years that will give the Chinese what they want. But I can offer Donald Trump a similar deal, tell him he should take it, and he can get reelected. All right, number four, benefits for Blue Water veterans finalized after a years-long fight. Late Tuesday night, President Trump signed the legislation which grants presumptive status for disability benefits to an estimated 90,000 Navy veterans who served in seas around Vietnam during the war. Now, what is this about? And then there's a picture. Benefits for Blue Water veterans finalized after years long fight. Now, Blue Water Navy, right? What picture do you think goes with the story? Marines getting aboard an amphibious, which is not Blue Water Navy, an amphibious ship at some port during Vietnam. Anyway, yeah, nice going, boys. The Blue Water Vietnam Veterans Benefit Act is now law. Unlike fellow service members stationed on the ground and in inland waterways, right, that would have been the Riverine Navy, Blue Water veterans faced additional paperwork barriers to prove exposure to toxic defoliants during deployments, even after developing identical serious cancers and respiratory illnesses. Advocates have long complained that put in an unfair burden, those requirements put an unfair burden on aging veterans. The higher proof of exposure blocked most so-called Blue Water veterans from eligibility for benefits, which can total several thousand dollars a month. The, you know, to me there's a line between, and I'd have to look at the language of the legislation, but there's a line between allowing nonsense and getting obstructive stuff out of the way. And I hope that that line isn't crossed in this case, because it shouldn't not be a gravy train, right? If the United States military has records that say that there were defoliants and these agents on your ship, that you either transported them, that your aircraft carrier loaded them, that, you know, your whatever moved them, then, so, you know, that's fine to me. But if there's none of that, those people should not be involved in it. And then the fifth story we've talked about is the Navy investigating a SEAL for telling the truth. And so, again, you can find this story. It's written by Carl Prine. He's a regular contributor to Navy Times. At issue is whether military authorities will go after Special Warfare Operator First Class Corey Scott for claiming that he plugged the breathing tube of the Islamic State militant outside Mosul so that the enemy fighter wouldn't be tortured to death later by Iraqi security forces, even if that was the truth. So again, this, I already talked about this, so I won't address it, but I hope they do prosecute, because getting immunity and then lying because you're trying to protect somebody, that's as wrong could be. So you, to me, that if that doesn't violate the terms of your immunity, then I don't know what does. All right, we'll take a break. Lynch Kenny coming up next here on a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your one and only home for it. But I have one thing. I cannot get, you know, the image of congressmen and senators opining yesterday over that picture out of my head. And I just find it, you know, the people that have the ability to solve those problems and don't do it on an annual basis, now stand up, right? Now stand up and get so emotional about it. Save it for somebody else, man. Save the theatrics for other people. Cause we, the rest of us in the country, we are sick of it, alright? We're sick of the bullshit that comes out of Congress. So fix that thing, alright? Fund humanitarian assistance and stop playing stupid games. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on, your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.